You're listening to the Bug Bucks Podcast, hosted by Alan Draper and Eric Bassett. Each week, they'll discuss ways to scale and grow your pest control company with a goal of helping you become a bug money millionaire.
What's my first step and what kind of timeline am I looking at in order to really get some progress, get some movement with marketing on the digital front for my pest control company?
So I would say, and I say this with such incredible respect, right? I come from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad's an entrepreneur, right? Like my, and he got it on us too. And so I think a lot of times when you're in the role of you gentlemen, right? Or some of the people that are listening to your podcast, there's this feeling that you have to be like the wizard at all of the things to make this work. Or sometimes you look at something like marketing, it's so heavy or elusive maybe that you don't even know where to start, right?
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bug Bucks Podcast. I'm Alan Draper. I'm going to bring my man Eric on here in just one second. Before I get to Eric, I wanted to remind everyone of the giveaway that we're doing in our group, our Facebook group, which was just recently renamed to be more apropos, and it's now called the Bug Bucks group. So just search for Bug Bucks, BUGBUX on Facebook and make sure to join us there. But we're doing a giveaway right now with a couple of different pieces of equipment and some product. I think it's retail value and several hundred dollars. So go there, check that out. We're going to be giving away something every month. We've been graciously sponsored by Viserys and Bayer, and we're continuing to see what we can do to, you know, kind of give back to all you PCOs out there. And, you know, we recently gave away a flow zone that I think is making a lot of difference for that PCO. And yeah, so stay tuned for that. Make sure if you're not a member of our group, make sure to go to Facebook, search for Bug Bucks, BUGBUX, and I'll always be pinning the monthly giveaway to the top. So you'll see that the rules there, you need to share an episode of this podcast and screenshot it, and then also leave us a review, screenshot it, and then put those in the thread. That counts as an entry, and you can get as many entries as you want. So yeah, so we're really excited about that. So Eric, how's your summer going, man? How are you guys feeling?
Dude, summer is going really well. We just celebrated the 4th of July. We did the parade in a little town that we service in. We loved it. It was the first time we've been able to do that parade in 2 years, kind of the post-COVID scenario there. So love doing it. Super excited for this episode. The speakers, one of my favorites to talk to. And then I'm super stoked about all the giveaways we're doing, man. I wish that we had an option like this when I first started in pest control. You know, listen to a podcast, be part of a Facebook group, get giveaways. It's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah. That's the entire purpose, right? Is to kind of give back to the industry, help people that could use a little bit of a leg up. You know, if we're giving around, you know, between $300 and $400 a month, which my guess is those prizes are going to get bigger and better for, you know, erring on the side of caution there on the low side, you know, that's between $4,000 and $5,000 a year that we're going to be giving away in our Facebook group. And, you know, the smaller guys are winning them, right? Because they're the ones that are getting more entries. And, and so, yeah, we're excited about that opportunity. You know, I feel really blessed to be in a position where people want to give back to our industry. And, you know, I think it's fantastic. Let's get into the episode today. We're excited to bring back Matt Rogers. You guys all know who Matt is. You know, he's a marketing specialist, grew up in the pest control industry, but has a design background and education. So very unique mix of, you know, the creative artsy type blended with this background in pest control and his knowledge of how to build pest control companies. So welcome back, Matt. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be back with you guys.
So tell us what's going on. What have you been up to? And what are some things that you're working on for pest control companies right now?
So many things. Okay. So it's different for every market, but we are, from most of us, right? I'm in the, still kind of in the middle of the country. If there was a belt running through it, our markets are starting, they're going on the downslope now, right? We're approaching the end of the year, on the back half of the year. And so there's a lot of reporting infrastructure we've been building. There is a lot of pivoting we're having to do with Google. Google just decided to up and change its infrastructure and its algorithms last week. So we were all kind of scrambling and pivoting to accommodate that. And then just trying to stretch. We basically, our priority in particular for last month has been stretching out these ad dollars that have been trusted to us as far as we absolutely could. So it's been a pretty crazy, but full and good month. And I'm looking forward to just getting better and better and better on behalf of our clients for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, I don't share a lot of details about Proof on here, but I did want to share one quick, you know, give you a shout out for what you're accomplishing. We've been able year to date while growing compared to year over year, we've been able to cut our cost per customer acquisition on the phones, right? So through digital marketing, so all those warm leads, when we've been able to cut that in half at Proof through the help of Blizzard. Yeah.
You started to pull that data together recently?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been measuring it for years now. I know Eric's like the data guru. And that's one of the three things that, kind of taking just a quick step back, I try not to overwhelm my managers and my teams. And so I focus on two or three key metrics throughout the year so that if I ask them, hey, where are we on this? They'll have it at their fingertips based on the, you know, the most recent reporting. Yeah. And with the marketing director at Proof, that is one of those three things. So I bonus her. So I try to align my interests. So whatever matters to us matters to her. So I bonus her on cost per customer acquisition, total leads, and total cost per lead.
Wow. That's ridiculous. And
so those are the three things. Is there something, Eric, that you guys kind of focus on?
So yeah, we do take a look at cost per lead, customer acquisition cost. The cost per lead and the number of lead, the volume of lead, those are metrics that I send over to my marketing person. And then our average acquisition, that's going to be, you know, a combination of what we're going to spend on possibly commissions to sales guys, plus how much we're spending on marketing. So that's a little bit of a different metric. But for anybody that's listening there right now, you know, especially if you're on the smaller end of some of these companies, you might not be considering your customer acquisition cost. I don't even know if you're tracking CPL or cost per lead or anything like that. But what Alan was just saying, to take a company that's his size and to take an average customer acquisition cost and to cut it in half is crazy significant. If you're listening to this episode right now, you've been talking to somebody in the industry or you're thinking about marketing costs and all that stuff associated with it, pay attention and also share this with somebody who needs to know more about marketing, because that key specific thing is absolutely huge. So I'm interested to know more about how Matt pulled that off. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not a one trick pony for sure. And I got a great team for sure.
So tell us, you know, there's somebody, Eric just addressed somebody that's like listening and they're like, hey, I actually don't even know what my cost per customer acquisition is.
Right.
What's my first step and what kind of timeline am I looking at in order to really get some progress, get some movement with marketing on the digital front for my pest control company?
So I would say, and I say this with such incredible respect, right? I come from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad's an entrepreneur, right? Like my, and he got it on us too. And so I think a lot of times when you're in the role of you gentlemen, right? Or some of the people that are listening to your podcast, there's this feeling that you have to be like the wizard at all of the things to make this work. Or sometimes you look at something like marketing, it's so heavy or elusive maybe that you don't even know where to start, right? So in terms of time commitment, I use this metric a lot, and this metric doesn't come from me. You can Google it. It's from Google. They'll tell you. If you're partnering with Google to do any type of paid search, if that's LSA or PPC, they're going to want to see some type of commitment from you for at least 3 months for the sake of optimizing. That doesn't mean that the campaigns that you're running are terrible for those 3 months. That just means that the first month is going to be hard, and then each subsequent month after that, in perpetuity, gets better and better and better and better and better, congruent to your commitment to Google. So I like to say, I've even had to have the conversation with a couple of clients this week. if you've got to pull the throttle back, some things going on with your LSAs or PPC, just don't take your foot off the pedal, right? You can throttle it back to $500 a month and Google's going to continue to learn from the money that you give it. So keep your foot on the pedal. Don't shut the lights off there. But Google's going to ask you for 3 months for paid search. And then for SEO, there are a couple of variables that are, it's really hard for people to wrap their minds around. But I'll use the Charlotte market as an example. That's right. This city is crazy right now. I know it's crazy all over the place, but our cost of living is going up. I'm meeting people from three places all the time. California, DC, or New York are my neighbors now. I went from having a bunch of Charlottean neighbors to people buying people's houses at astronomical prices, being from other parts of the country. And so what that means is my market where I live is in fluctuation, right? So for the people that are playing that long game of SEO, they really truly do need to have a commitment of time, and it's going to be longer than a year. I would say you never come out of the SEO game. If I were to give advice, it's always something you need to be participating in and working on, because there's only so many spots on the front page of Google, and everybody, including these big boys that are in the Charlotte market, Antisimex is here, Terminix is here, Orkin is here. They're all paying big money to talk to all of these people that are moving in from DC and California and New York to let them know that they can get their pest control services there. So that is an ongoing process. So 3 months for paid, I would say, is a good rule of thumb. And then always for SEO, for sure.
You know, I'm glad that you brought this up. And if you guys are listening, Matt touched on something that's really, really important, which is this time commitment. And it's not just an arbitrary thing that Google forces you to do. No. Any kind of marketing company, whether it's Google or some other marketing company, or even if you have an individual marketer that's working for your campaigns, that person is going to want to be able to test different campaigns on different types of people and areas and all these other different things. And you need to give it time. Yeah, exactly. You got to see what works, right? And so if you're the type of person who, you know, you kind of get into April, May, June, and you're kind of worried because your marketing isn't working, and you reach out to somebody and you're like, hey, I need results right away. And those results come in after you pay a guy for a month and they're not really great. Looking for a good marketing solution in June and July is like looking for a good deal on flights.
Yeah.
Booking a day ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to find it, right?
No, you so, sure aren't.
No matter when you start a campaign, and there are good times to start a campaign, Matt can tell you.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that you have to give it time so that it can learn how you want to market and give you the best results for your money.
I'll give you a great example from a client. I know you're probably listening this week, and shout out if you are, you know who you are. Her campaigns are in the process of learning in the month of June, right? And we were stretching those ad dollars as far as possible. We were listening to the calls and disputing things with Google and going back and forth and all this stuff. She's getting a lot of calls for wildlife, skunks and squirrels in the attic and bats and all this thing. One of the keywords that were showing up a lot for her campaign was critters, right? And so there's a lot of things that show up for critter. And so we're going back through the whole month of June and we're teaching Google, hey, we don't want to talk to people who are searching about skunks. We don't want to talk to people who are searching about where to put their cat down. We don't want to talk to people who have squirrels in the attic. But what was so funny is she goes, is Google trying to tell me I should get involved in wildlife? And I was like, you know, you know, that's exactly how a Killingsworth got involved in wildlife. We were so sick of screening calls from customers that were asking us to do exclusion work on their home. And we're like, yeah, we're going to figure out how to do that. And we're going to be there next week.
That's crazy. So in one of my branches, we get 5,000 wildlife calls a year. 5,000.
Wow.
And we don't do wildlife there. And 1 year we almost pulled the trigger and we keep going back and forth. So part of the problem is that I'm the guy that says, don't follow the shiny object, right? On this podcast. I'm like, if you're going to do it, that's okay. There's companies that do it and they do it well. They make money.
Yeah.
But don't do it just because you're getting the leads.
Yeah.
Instead, fix your leads, right?
Yeah.
This is how I like to think of marketing and trust me, I put pressure on Matt because he does our marketing, obviously. He's my partner. But we like to think of digital marketing as being perfect. But let's rewind, everybody. Let's rewind 25, 30 years. How are they marketing? They're marketing on TV. They were marketing on billboards and they were marketing in the telephone book. Were people seeing the yellow pages? So were you paying to get people in front of your ads that either were outside your service area, didn't have a need, right? Of course. So now we think, oh, we get a couple of leads, wayward call. Yeah. And it's like, what's going on? The sky's falling. I feel like we're spoiled with digital marketing a little bit.
We are. My father, before he built and sold Killing Thrift, he worked in the Yellow Pages forever. And I don't remember what it was, like kind of through the process, but it kind of dawned on him at some point in there. And he's like, you know what? And I was like, what, Dad? And he said, Google is like the new Yellow Pages. And I was like, you know, it is. Good. There you go, Dad. Good job. It's true, though, but it's like awesome. The Yellow Pages on steroids, right? Because it's learning, your market's changing, and it is looking for people who are doing the search. So it definitely takes a commitment to it. And you definitely want to be partnered with people who know your market and who know your business and who know how to get weed out as much of the chaff as possible as quickly as possible, because it's kind of inevitable. It's inevitable.
You know, I'm glad that we're talking about these leads that are, you know, kind of crap leads. We've been dealing with that for a long time, and we track all of our qualified leads, and then we track all of our unqualified leads, and we break our unqualified leads into different reasons, you know, outside our service area, pests we don't treat, you know, some non-decision maker stuff, weird one-offs. But we've been like streamlining it for the longest time. And despite our best efforts, I still can't get all my leads to be absolutely qualified, right? I'm always going to get a handful of customers who call about weird stuff. And, you know, I've kind of chalked it up, and maybe this is just me thinking that we're cooler than we are, but I've just kind of chalked it up to believing that people go online and they search for raccoon removal and they see my brand and they don't see anything about raccoons, and I'm not marketing for raccoon removal, but they're like, those people look cool. I think I'll click on this ad, and they click on my ad anyway. Yep. And I'm like, well, I'm happy that you think I'm cool, but I'm not happy that you just cost me money.
No, two things I think in that regard. One of my biggest pet peeves, and there's no way to filter it out. So for all of your listeners, just know, no matter who you're partnered with, you're going to deal with this. You're going to spend some ad dollars, and your current customers are going to click on the ads, okay? And it's because, and God bless them, but they're lazy, okay? What happened is, they searched your brand because they forgot to save your number inside their phone. And they see the first thing that pops up with the little phone number ad extension on the bottom, and they just call it. And it costs you a little bit of money, and they're already your customer. It's going to happen. It's always going to happen. But I have a question actually for both of you. I have my thoughts. I guess I'll save it to the end. But from your perspective, I describe the offer on Google as like the worm on the hook if you're fishing for a client, right? What is the best worm on the hook from your experience? There's in our industry, there's things like free inspection. There's things like a dollar amount off. There's things like a percent off, right? But from your perspective, what has worked best and gotten the most calls?
What do you think, Alan? You want to take this one first?
Sure. First of all, I think it depends on what type of fish you're trying to hook, right? What type of campaign you're running, and what type of customers, what's your geo, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a specialty service? Are you looking for, you know, recurring service? But if we're talking about just recurring service, I think that it really comes down to the initial price. How we sell, once we get somebody on the phone, it really comes down to the initial price. And I like to use dollars in the ad copy versus a percentage.
Yeah.
Because a percentage doesn't mean a whole lot to the average person. But if you say something like a free initial, or, you know, $100 off, or a $49 initial, or something like that, then they know, okay, well, I know how much this is going to cost me, right? To some degree.
Yeah.
And we've seen those perform really well. If we're talking about branding, it's going to be different, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be. But just getting creative with raw dollar amounts, I think if we're looking for leads, guys, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're fishing for. I think that's the best worm. I've seen people try to get cutesy about, I think local, I think mentioning local, I think that might help. That might resonate with some. I think organic might resonate with some, depending on the geo and things like that. But I think just generally, it's money. Okay. Yeah. In the short term, somebody sees an ant.
Turns the quickest lead. You're right.
They are going to hire somebody right then, and they're trying to make it as simple as possible. They already have a bunch of decisions that they have to make that day. What to feed the kids, you know, how to talk to their boss at work, what to do about, you know, their neighbor, whatever, right? They're trying to make a really quick decision. And sometimes we get in our own way. And I tell my sales guys this too, because our sales guys, and marketing is like this too, it can be like this. Our sales guys, they try to tell the customer everything. I was just talking to somebody, I'm building a place in Florida and we need a special type of insurance because it's in a flood zone. And this agent, she's super sweet, super nice. I'm probably going to use her. But she started telling me the history of how they figure out how to pay out on a claim. That's great. And she knows a lot, guys. Yeah. She knows a lot. There's no question. Yeah. But I don't give a crap. I don't care.
Make a decision.
So I think it's the same way with marketing is sometimes let's cut to the chase. Let's get to the point. Let's not be too fancy. And I've noticed that works really well for us. What about you, Eric?
You know, I agree with you. I think when it comes down to it, people want to save money. People want to feel like they're getting a good deal on something. Limited time offers are okay. I think that customers kind of see through that a lot more often. But still, there's something about that sense of urgency that just kind of hooks people a little bit.
Yeah.
I like being specific when I can be. So, you know, if we're talking about specifically marketing to certain types of neighborhoods, and we have like, if you have like boroughs or townships and different things, and you can like target your ads and have your ads say specific things like, you know, hey, you know, people in this neighborhood or people in this area or people dealing with this particular thing, the more specific you can be, the better, but it also kind of restricts what you can do with that campaign in some situations.
Yeah.
So it's a two-edged sword, but I agree with you, Alan. I mean, sometimes you can't overcomplicate it. We've got the best results usually with a dollar off amount. The one thing that's been interesting about dollar off amounts that I've noticed personally and both with marketing in our business is you have to be careful how much that discounted amount is, because the higher the discounted amount, the more expensive they think the service will actually be. You know, for example, if I see a discount that's like, you know, $89 off, right, our usual initial price, I'm thinking, okay, cool. Yeah, that seems like it's a significant amount. Yeah. And the discount itself isn't going to be so high that the actual price tag on it is probably pretty affordable. Whenever I see a discount on something that's like $300 off, I'm like, well, what the heck is the actual cost of the thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, got to be astronomically priced. Yeah.
So there's a sweet spot with what you price your discount at, you know, whether you're saying, hey, this much off, so that you're not kind of leading people away by thinking, oh, that's got to be a really expensive thing if the discount is really high. It's a weird middle ground.
So I agree with both of you 100% in terms of I have found in my experience that the dollar amount usually works the best. And you got to reverse engineer it, right? You got to sit down with whoever's handling the money at the back of the house. And you got to talk about what your profit's going to be after you make the investment in marketing. And after you take this dollar amount off, what are you actually going to end up with at the end of the day? But I have a sleeper that I love. I truly do love it. And it turns the most leads. You're probably going to get some heat for this. And I hope people don't think I'm an idiot, but let me just make it to the end. Okay. But in particular for termites, what I have found that has always worked the best, well, I'll just say it, I'll do my disclaimers, is the free inspection. And I'll tell you why, okay? I know that what businesses don't like is a bunch of leads that turn into something that's free, and then a customer doesn't want to make a commitment, and the technician just spent time and gas and health insurance and whatever before they go on to their next appointment to whatever. I get that, for sure. But if you think about it from a door-to-door perspective, right? From a door-to-door salesman's perspective, how often has a door-to-door salesman ever walked up to a home whereby the homeowner opens the door and says, oh, yes, please come in, do a thorough inspection and tell me what it is.
Point.
Fine. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. It doesn't. Most people that open the door for a door-to-door salesman are like, oh, crap. Do you know what I mean? Here we go. I got to give this person some time.
Yeah, once you get in the door, that sale
it's
is done.
Over. Or backyard,
It should be.
Backyard.
So my disclaimer is that one in particular for termite, you have to have an operational and sales infrastructure that is tuned in and ready to receive these free opportunities to go into this person's home. I'm never going to go in my crawl space, okay? I'm just not going to do it, okay? I'm always going to have somebody come in because I'm not getting under there. That's just not my thing, okay? And I grew up in the pest control industry. I'm still not going in there. If I were to say to some random company that were to offer me a free inspection, sure, please come over. Let me know what you find down there. Report back. Good luck. It behooves the salesperson, whether that be the person that's on the call or the person that shows up to do the inspection to do a thorough enough job or to have the right pitch in place to get that person on board and to follow up on that lead to close it later. But in my experience, the thing that's obviously turned the most leads when the operational and sales infrastructure is right for a company is a free termite inspection. Nothing gets the phone to ring, in my experience, like a free termite inspection.
You know what this makes me think of is how all of the different departments of your pest control company need to be on the same page.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that if you have these ads, right, marketing team / agency, they're doing these ads. The inside salespeople need to know how to handle them. The techs need to be expecting them and understand what they have to do. And they be trained in pricing and sales and things like that. And what's interesting is that for years, I fought so hard against these quote unquote inspections. I always considered them lost sales.
Yep.
And I still think that a lot of the good leads should be closed over the phone. I'm still a proponent of that. However, recently our technicians have started to sell like crazy, especially in certain branches where they just have a chip on their shoulder and they think that, you know, their salespeople right along with the people answering phones, they do a great job. Some of them do a better job. And I've noticed that these free inspections. So I used to look at that and think, oh, okay, well, next, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But because everybody's on the same page, they're turning into really long-term customers.
Sure, because you're building trust. It's an opportunity to build trust, right?
You know, and I think there's also this element of, you know, Robert Kialdi wrote a book. I'm trying to remember what it's called. He was an ASU marketing or psychology professor. I think he's a marketing professor. And he wrote a book and he talked about, and I'm trying to remember the term. It's basically this idea that if you give somebody something, it's so much easier to ask for something in return. Because as human beings, we feel like we don't like being in anybody's debt. Yeah. I mean, we all have friends that, you know, will borrow $5, $10 and you'll never see it again. Right. But except for the psychopaths, we want to repay that person. When we give, it really opens the door for us to make an easier sell. And that's a great way to kind of give something where it's like, hey, let me do an inspection. Cause that is valuable. You talked about how you don't want to be in a crawl space. That's valuable. People want to know what's going on in their garage. They want to know what's going on in their basement or their unfinished parts of their basement, whatever. Adding that value, you know, it opens the door. Again, kind of going back to this idea, as long as everybody's on the same page and working together.
Yeah. That's such an interesting point, because even this past month, Alan, and working with some of our clients at Lizard, you know, we're listening to calls and opportunities to come in. Your digital marketing company, all they're doing for you is creating opportunities, right? They can work on refining the volume of opportunities that they're creating, but largely that's going to be congruent with the amount of money that you're spending on your budget, right? And they can work on the quality of the opportunities that are coming in. Those are the two kind of levers that they get to pull, but they're making opportunities, right? The second piece of the puzzle is the person that's answering the phone, talking about a team that's on a page and working together. And some of the calls that we'll listen to sometimes, you know, I was getting feedback from one client this week that we're having a lot of calls and we're losing a lot of these calls to price objections. But the presupposition in my conversation with this person was, marketing company, what are you going to do about this? There's something wrong.
Right.
But the truth is, your marketing company can't do anything about like price objections. That's about your inside sales department and their ability to overcome objections to get this person on the schedule. Right.
Yeah.
So there has to be like this very linear transition. The phone rings, the person answers, they're providing quality service. They're not rude. They're very open and informative and helpful to this client. And they're overcoming objectives as this client's bringing them up, about to make a financial commitment with a company they may or may not know, you know. And then it goes to operations. Operations is giving a good service. You know what I'm saying? They're using the brush and they're dusting the front porches and not leaving cobwebs up everywhere when they're out there, just because they should, you know. And they're doing thorough inspections and they're pulling the trash can in from at the end of the driveway and all that kind of good stuff. And then it goes to the money at the back of the house finally, right? But it doesn't turn into money for the people that I'm working for unless all of those pieces of the puzzle are humming along together. They have to work together. It's not just your digital marketing company. It's not just your inside sales team. And it's not just your operations people. It's everybody. Can I give a company that we work with a shout out in terms of, is that okay?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. The company that I've seen have it the most tuned in, honestly, right now, no offense to Alan, because obviously you guys do, but I can't say that because it sounds like I'm being paid to say that. But Recon surprises me all the time. Bo and Austin, they are killing the game and they are constantly working on not just their marketing, but their inside sales and their training, and then their outside sales and their training, and then their operations and the quality of service that they're providing.
Where's Recon located?
It's north. Hold on. There's too many now. If they continue to work on all of these particular elements, this process at each level, work on, you know, their relationship with us, work on their relationship with the sales team, work on their relationship with us, they're only going to see exponential growth because the type of service that they're and the kind of quality that they're providing is the thing that a customer is going to pay for. That's what the customer is actually paying for, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, I really appreciate that we're talking about the whole philosophy of obviously aligning all of your different departments in your business to make sure that your marketing campaigns run smoothly from start to finish and start being, you know, attracting the customer in and finish being delivering the product and retaining the customer over a long period of time, right? And I remember when I first figured out what a cost per lead was. I had just been transitioned to a sales manager role and I'm talking to my marketing guy about getting the phones to ring and he's talking about his budgets and I'm like, well, let's just do the math. You know, I mean, how much does a lead cost, you know? And he tells me, and I realized that, wait a minute, like every time the phone rings, you're telling me like, this is what it costs on average. And he's like, yeah, man, that's what it costs to make the phone ring per lead. And I'm like, holy cow, you know, and nowadays that cost is way, I mean, it's a lot higher than it was, you know, 10 years ago. But I think it's actually kind of important, and this might not be a popular thing. I don't know how many of you guys listening like to disclose some of those high-level numbers to your frontline colleagues and frontline staff, but sometimes it's good to let them know, hey, you know, if you have a $100 cost per lead, right, overall cost per lead with your management fees, et cetera, when you say, listen, you know, the reason why it's so important that we understand how to close these leads and make the most out of these opportunities is because every time that phone rings and it's somebody who's asking you the simple question of, hey, how much do you guys charge for ants? That phone call costs $100, right? It's $100 just to get them to call us. And that's how much that opportunity weighs. So all I'm asking you to do is to make a little bit of an extra effort when that customer says no, handle the objection, et cetera, kind of go into your training. But, you know, having an inside sales team that's dialed in is huge.
The great
idea. And then, you know, we recently had this with a new technician, which I thought was kind of fun because it happens almost every year, but we'll send out a technician on an initial, right? And he'll go out there and the customer will ask some kind of question like, hey, so, you know, I know that I called for evidence of this pest. You know, like, what do you think? Is it really, really bad? And the technician will say, no, I don't think it's really bad. You know, like, I've definitely seen worse. You're actually pretty fine. And she goes, okay, well, you know, like, maybe we don't need to do this and we're good. And the technician's like, okay. And then he'll like leave. And like not do anything.
Yeah.
We'll get a phone call back from the inside salesperson. They're like, wait a minute. You did what? Like, what'd you say? You know?
You walked away. So
it's one of those scenarios where I realized, hey, look, not every technician is a salesman. I got that. I've realized that over time. Not every technician is a salesman. However, any technician in that kind of scenario can pick up the phone and say, hey, you know what? Sounds like you might have a few questions. Let me give my office a call. They know a little bit more about your specific situation because they talked to you. Let me get them on the phone real quick. Hang on a minute. And they make that phone call and they say, hey, listen, your customer has a couple questions. I figure they might want to talk to you, right? And that's for the technicians who, despite your best efforts, aren't the best sales guys, right? I do think that the majority of technicians with work and patience can be fantastic salesmen or salespeople, I should say, right? There's a way, no matter what you do, to make it work.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, Matt.
I think if they're delivering quality, they don't have to worry about sales. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If they can prioritize, we always said we are the Chick-fil-A of the pest control world, right? It's yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure to help you. Do you know what I'm saying? Is there anything else that you need while I'm here? If they're providing that kind of care for customers, customers will keep coming back. Your attrition numbers are going to be just fine. Do you know what I'm saying? People will not go to like a Terminix or an Orkin. Shout out Terminix and Orkin because they know what kind of they know what kind of service they're going to get, you know?
Yeah. You know, honestly, Eric, I think that is just a great leadership principle anyway, to be transparent to. So I've said this before, but the number one motivator in helping people improve their performance at work is them having a desire to work together to achieve a common goal.
Yep.
And so many times in all industries, but in pest control also, people are disconnected from achieving the common goal, which is ultimately taking care of our customers, providing a service that they're satisfied with. Yeah. So if you can do your part as a leader and show them, hey, this is how much this phone call costs me, you're opening the door for them to be more accountable for their job. And yeah, people want to be accountable. I always hear, like, in threads online, people complaining about, you know, PCOs complaining about their people, complaining about their folks. And it's like, dude, honestly, they're just a reflection of their leadership. That is what I think every single time. I'm not perfect. I've made all sorts of mistakes. True, right?
Yes.
But when you share that data with them, you are 100%. You're going to find out who your rock stars are, because your rock stars are going to be the ones that are like, you know what? That's on me. That lead costs $100. And if it costs $100, and you probably need to call Matt, you'd do a little better than that for you. but you know, if they understand that, and it's not just about marketing, and that principle is not just about money. Yeah. It's like, people want to feel like they're a part of something. What is the something? As leaders, we have to show them the vision, and we have to show what their role is in the bigger scheme of things. I used to work at a wood plant where they would make moldings for windows, doors, whatever. This was right out of high school. And there was like a conveyor belt, and I would get a piece, and then I would do whatever, and then I'd pass it on. And dude, I never knew what that ended up being. If once a month or once a quarter or ever, my manager brought me a picture of whatever I had in my hand and how that ended up looking on a house.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but this leadership principle is so important. Dude, honestly, with our mom and pop shops and pest control, we're like, okay, this is my business. It's kind of like people think, like, this is my house. I can do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah.
You can. You can do whatever you want.
You're exactly not breaking what the law. You sell. That's exactly right.
You know, it's none of their business how much I make. It's none of their business how much it costs me to run this business. You know, how much this costs or that costs. That's fine. But you want people that will bleed and sweat for you. You know, you're complaining about how they don't want to work through holidays, or they don't want to work extra hours. They don't want to work on the weekends. That's your fault, man.
You're talking about the relationship. We've actually inverted the conversation, right? At the start of the conversation, we're talking about how to make the phone ring. But what we're talking about now is building the kind of culture that makes the customer want to stay, right? And so you need to have both of these things humming. And the kind of culture that makes a customer wants to stay starts at the leader and works its way down, right? My parents always used to say, well, we sell world-class customer service. We just happen to kill bugs, right? And that was their mentality. And that informed everything from the top all the way down to the bottom of every single meeting. Guys, we sell world-class customer service. You know what I'm saying? And it worked its way all the way down to the bottom. And so what happens is, when you get the engine humming, right, and you're getting the leads coming in, and then you get the other side of the vehicle operating, right, and you've got people that want to stay, they're not price shopping, they're willing to pay a little bit more to hang on to your company as opposed to go risk starting all over with another company up the street because of the kind of service that they're getting and because of the kind of experience they have, then you've got a real recipe for success. Yeah. You truly do.
No, 100%.
You know, I love this, man, because just like Alan said, it's huge. And we've talked about this before. You know, when you're hiring people, and I know, again, in a hiring shortage, when we're low on people that want to work, it's difficult. But you can't just hire people that need a job. You have to hire people who believe in your vision.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because those are the type of people who, you know, when they answer that phone, right, when they go and they talk to that customer, they've got that vision in mind. Yep. You're going to own it 100%. And I've noticed that when you have somebody on the phones who doesn't have that vision, right? If it's an angry customer, that customer is going to immediately ask for a supervisor. They're going to ask to talk to an owner. They're going to ask to talk to somebody who actually cares about them as a customer because they know what it means to the business, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, inversely, the people who I've seen that like dial in, that are committed to the vision, those are the people who customer call and they'll be like, so are you like a manager? Do you own this thing? You know, like they sound different and you can tell.
Right? Yeah.
It's those people who believe in your vision. Those are the people that you want talking to your customers.
Absolutely.
100%. This is awesome, man. Matt, where do people reach out to you if they have a question about their marketing, if they have a question about, you know, even to just take a look and do a review of what they're currently doing?
Yeah.
You know, how do people reach out to you so they can kind of level up their PCCs?
There's going to be a link in the description of this podcast that you can click on, and it'll schedule a little bit of time for us to share a call together and just talk shop. I'm really not good at sales, right? I don't have a pitch. But if you want to talk about some of the things that you're doing and ask some questions, like I can help you. And if you want me to talk to you about the things that I know how to do and the things that I've learned, I can share those things with you too. Because of this relationship and because of taking on this position at Blizzard, I've had the real great opportunity of talking to a lot of folks that are at all different stages of this pest control process. And that's how to do it. So just click on the link in the description and it'll block out a little time for us to have a little phone call.
Awesome. Love it. Well, thanks for your time, Matt.
Always.
I mean, we're going to have you back. We're always having these great conversations.
Yeah.
Marketing, you know, if there's anything for a PCO that feels foreign, it's got to be the accounting and the marketing. Those two things, you know, everything else they've got, you know, a really good handle over.
Yes.
I would probably throw in personal management. My list might keep growing if we keep giving me time here, but yeah, no, we appreciate your time. We'll have you back and keep up the great work, man. Keep helping build those pest control companies. We're providing a great service and, you know, something that people want to pay for. They don't want to do it themselves. So thanks for your contribution to the industry. And yeah, we'll catch you in the future.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bug Bucks podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please show your support by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating. Thank you. And we'll catch you on next week's episode.